Welcome to Variant Frequencies. Month to month, our podcast brings you fiction stories from a different channel. Sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and some odd bands in between. Visit us at www.variantfrequencies.com.
Hello, I'm Rick Stringer. We have another bonus episode for you today. This is the first chapter of Seth Harwood's Jack Wakes Up. Seth has given us this to promote the print version of his book coming out on May 5th from Random House. So if you like what you hear in this bonus episode, then get out there and buy Seth's book. In the 3 years since Jack Palms went clean, no drugs, no drinking, no life, he's added 14 pounds of muscle, read 83 books, and played it as straight as anyone can ask him. Now, when an old friend from L.A. calls, he hits the streets of San Francisco to help a group of Czech drug dealers make one big score, a single drug deal that he hopes will set him up for life. But when people start turning up dead, and an old nemesis on the police force calls, Jack finds himself with just 24 hours to track down San Francisco's biggest drug supplier, or face charges that will put him behind bars. Only an Oscar-caliber performance will get him through this alive.
Hey, this is Seth Harwood welcoming you to the Variant Frequencies podcast. I want to thank Rick and the rest of the crew at Variant Frequencies for having me on today, here to celebrate Cinco de Harwood and the release of Jack Wakes Up by Three Rivers Press, a division of Random House. That's right, Jack Wakes Up is available at bookstores everywhere now and online at every location you could imagine. You can find way more at SethHarwood.com, and at SethHarwood.com/order is where you can get the book. Today, this is a special presentation where I'm bringing you the first episode of Jack Wakes Up. If you'd like to hear the rest, drop by SethHarwood.com, find it on iTunes, Podio Books, wherever you get the podcast that you like. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope to see you at a bookstore signing soon.
Jack Wakes Up, Episode 1.
Let he who is without sin cast the first stone after you.
Jack Wakes Up is a Seth Harwood, Jack Palms novel. More information at SethHarwood.com.
So he could bring it to you live in stereo.
This novel contains material that is best suited for adults. This is Jack Wakes Up, Episode 1. Jack Palms walks into a diner just south of Japantown, the one where he's supposed to meet Ralph. As he passes by the wait to be seated sign, he wonders if these things didn't come standard issue, with please at the start not too long ago, back when the world was more friendly and kind. But Jack knows what Ralph and the rest of the people who come to a place like this would tell him. Fuck that. The diner's built out of an old cable car, with a lunch counter along one side and booths on the other. Ralph sits alone at the last table eating, hunched over his plate, long brown hair hanging curly around his face, his blue and white Hawaiian shirt clashing with the ugly checked wallpaper. He hasn't gotten any younger or prettier over the years. His pockmarked cheeks move like a rabbit's. His eyebrows form a thick mustache over his eyes. He wears wide, dark sunglasses, the kind blind people wear, pushed up onto the top of his head. Ralph smiles when he sees Jack. "Jackie boy," he says, showing Jack the other side of his booth with a big hand, not getting up. "You look good, like you added a little weight," he winks. "In a good way." "Thanks." Jack pats his rib cage. He calculates it's been 3 years since he last saw Ralph. 3 years, and then the phone call this morning, asking Jack to come in on a deal. "You see that game against the Mets?" Ralph starts, saying no one should be allowed to pitch around Bonds, the steroids home run machine, that the Giants lost because the Mets did just that. Ralph shakes his head. "I guarantee you, they pitch to Bonds, he puts that shit in the bay." "Just coffee," Jack tells the waitress, who's just come out from behind the counter. She stops with the brown-rimmed pot over the table when Jack says decaf and it's clear she's not happy about having to go back for the other pot. And toast, Ralph adds. He'll have a wheat toast, darling. The waitress, pushing 40 and only a few years from when the day's on her feet and gravity will own her, smiles and tips her head. Thank you, Ralph winks. When she's gone, you got to have toast or something, so they know we're not camping. He tilts his head, forking more waffle into his mouth. Just don't eat it, he shrugs. I'm buying. Right, Jack says. Next to Ralph's untouched water, two butts half fill his ashtray, one coming in and one with his coffee, waiting for Jack and his food, Jack guesses. He's a quarter into his waffle and has a side of eggs and bacon that he hasn't touched. Ralph did a good job syruping the waffle. Buttered it first, went liberal, and stayed away from the fruit flavors. No blueberry or apple bullshit. Listen, Jack. Ralph barely looks up. Cuts the next quarter waffle into strips. I'm real sorry about how that shit went down with Norma. How you handling yourself? He looks up, pauses from eating. Jack runs his finger over the rim of his coffee mug. Getting by, Ralph. Thanks for your concern. Because I feel for you about Norma telling people you hit her. He shakes his head. That wasn't good. He looks at Jack, like he's trying to get it all figured out right then and there. You didn't, right? No, Ralph. And that wasn't cool that they pulled the money for your sequel. Dumped the project? He forks a big piece of waffle into his mouth. I'm sorry about that, too. So what's the basics here, Ralph? The big picture? Ralph nods. It's a buy, he says, mouth full, using his fork to point. Easy and simple. A buy and a sell. One big trade. No small shit or breaking up of product here. We each stand to make a couple thou for a few days' work. You said on the phone we'd be set for good. Ralph shrugs. Shit, Jack. I needed to get you down here to hear this, right? Jack looks around the diner, thinks about how it'd feel to just get up and walk out. But then he considers the 2,000 reasons to stay and the guy from the bank calling this morning about his missed mortgage payments. Keep talking. A sip of coffee, and Ralph cuts off some eggs with his fork and adds them to what he's already chewing. You want this bacon? He asks. I'm trying to watch my cholesterol. The waitress comes back with the decaf pot and fills Jack's cup until he stops her about an inch from the top. He's glad Ralph doesn't ask about the decaf. Doesn't want to explain that he had his coffee at home and knows a second cup will leave him too jittery to deal with Ralph's shit. She drops off a small plate of dry wheat toast, lightly toasted, at the top of Jack's placemat. Little pats of butter line the side of the plate. It's the kind you have to peel back the paper off of. Ralph drops two bacon slices on top of the bread. Make yourself a sandwich, he says. Jack adds a sugar to his coffee and stirs it with one of the diner's dirty spoons, adding a half and half. So what's the who? The when? Ralph goes on eating. The when is still up in the air, but I say it happens within the week, Thursday or Friday. The who, you don't need to know. I tell you, but it wouldn't mean anything to you. You're too long out of this game. Jack nods, sits back in his chair, and looks at the little white mug of decaf, thinking about whether he should walk out. Tell me why you need me. Listen, you made that sequel, you'd be in a whole different world right now, financially and otherwise. Ralph holds up his hand, stopping Jack before he can tell him to shut up. I know, he says. Enough, but I'll just say I heard you're touching down on your luck. That maybe you can use a little money. That's why I called. Jack takes a bitter sip of coffee, puts the mug back down. I'm listening. I need a side. A guy who can come along, maybe drive a nice car, and get us into some respectable places if these guys want a nice time in the city. You still got the fastback, right? Jack nods. And that mug of yours can still get us past a few red ropes. More than mine, anyway. Probably more than any of the suckers I know. Jack lifts up a triangle of toast and looks at it. Puts it back. With butter, maybe it'd be all right. But plain, it looks like warm cardboard. You see my name in the papers lately? He asks. No one gives a shit who I am anymore.
Exactly, my man. They see you, people don't care. But maybe a small part of them remembers your face, knows you from the movie. I know it, you know it. That's why you wear that cap you got on now.
He points to Jack's baseball hat, the Red Sox World Series edition that he's taken to wearing when he comes into the city.
They recognize you, and sometimes it's good. Ooh, Jack Palms, you the man from Shake 'Em Down. Then sometimes it's not good. Someone says, you the guy got addicted to smack and hit his wife. The one never made a second movie. Either way, bad or good, they like knowing you, recognizing someone they think is a celebrity, and we get the treatment we want.
Jack doesn't want to believe it comes down to this. To hear this is what people think of him, that he's down to the point where these are his options. He's been up in Sausalito for a long time now, 2 years of hiding away from the city, cleaning himself up, but he can't hide out forever, especially with his money from the movie running out. Jack takes a deep breath. The flat surface of his coffee has no reflection. Bacon lies across his toast, grease soaking into the bread. He wonders how Ralph can still be eating like this and partying like he used to. How nothing's changed. Nothing's come along and kicked his ass like the newspapers did when they came to take Jack's picture in handcuffs.
I apologize, Jackie.
Ralph puts his hands flat on the table, no longer eating.
But you know how it is. I know the papers got it wrong, but let's be honest about the street. You're not the man anymore, Jack, but you still got something.
Jack sips his coffee, cold already and bitter. He takes a deep breath, lets it out slow. Okay, he says. I'm in. Ralph nods, fluffs his eggs and forks in a mouthful.
Good, he says. It's Eastern Europeans coming in from out of town. Czechs, traveling big time, looking for a large chunk of blow. We meet them, take them out, show them the guy, and see that the deal goes off. It's easy.
Right. And they'll pay big for that.
Relax.
Ralph stops eating for a beat, points his fork at Jack.
Why so skeptical? It's just a trade. Big trade. Don't doubt, bro.
He forks up a big chunk of eggs, rubs it in the syrup.
I just need a backup. And for high rollers, I have to look good. That's why I call you. When I say we do this, I mean we do the fucker. No stops.
He brings the fork to his mouth. Jack nods. It's been a long time since he's worked anything. Maybe he's just getting nerves. Maybe he just needs to be involved with something outside of his own house. He thinks about where he'd be right now if Ralph hadn't called. Probably at the gym lifting, or out on a morning run. Activities that were good until they got old. Things he needed at first to keep himself sane while he cleaned up. Now he's clean. Needs something new. When do we start? Ralph laughs while chewing and catches some egg going down the wrong way. He coughs into the top of his fist. When he finishes catching his breath, he says,
"That part, you can just leave up to me."
This has been Chapter 1 of Jack Wakes Up. Here's a quick preview of what's coming next in Episode 2. Inside the lobby, Jack looks around, trying to decide what he should do. A big guy wearing a designer suit stands up from one of the couches on the left side of the lobby. Ralph leans close to the table and snorts a line. Ralph, who's never had anything bad happen as far as Jack's known. Ralph, who just keeps going and going and partying. Fucking Ralph. Yeah.
Thanks again to Rick for having me on today. I appreciate the chance to come on Variant Frequencies. I hope you dug the first chapter of Jack Wakes Up and that you will go to SethHarwood.com to listen to the rest. You can find me at Seth@SethHarwood.com. The call-in line for me is 206-350-4998. The book is out everywhere. Free PDFs on my site of the first three chapters. And I hope to check you out later because this is the time that we rock it again for podcasting. That's right, we rock big publishing right now to let them know that podcasting is what it's all about. Tour stop dates at SethHarwood.com/tour and at SethHarwood.com/
order is where you can get the book. This has been your boy, Seth Harwood.
Thank you. From your Variant Frequencies team, Matt Wallace, Ann Stringer, and Rick Stringer.